It's Mark here with another Sunshine Radio podcast, and it's our annual, well, it will become annual now, I think, post-Lakefest analysis. Oh, that's a deep word. And with Lee Martin, director. Hey.
Analysis? Wow.
Analysis, okay. Yeah.
Cool. You expected a lot out of me. I've bought a spreadsheet and some graphs. I thought we'd just come for a friendly chat.
Oh, well, yeah, we could be friendly. Yeah, yeah. So Lakefest is done and
it
dusted.
Is done and dusted.
And
very dusted, in fact. Very
oh,
dusted.
Yeah.
Very dusty.
Crikey.
I think it's still in my fingernails and in my hair. Actually.
Yeah. So. Yeah. I mean, and never has the ground been so hard and so dry. I'm amazed anybody could get their tent pegs in.
No. Well, the festoon, getting the festoon in with the like big proper pieces of heavy machinery was a challenge. It took double the time. You know?
And by that, of course, you're talking about the poles for the, what some people call the fairy lights, the festoon lights.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. 5 miles worth we had at Lakefest. And it was stunning, wasn't it? It really was. I mean, it looked at night, the site
that's what makes it
incredible. Yeah, yeah, it was pretty special at night, I would say.
But yeah, all in all, a brilliantly successful Lakefest 10th anniversary.
Well, no one died, which I think is the.
That was
I go all year, Mark, being completely scared and not sleeping at night, worrying about the weather for Lakefest, which. You know, we've had some pretty rough weather. We've had thunderstorms, we've had floods, we've had all sorts. This year was completely the opposite. But it was beautiful, wasn't it? The weather was lovely and everyone was sensible, as I said. We put messages out there to people and everyone listened and people drank lots of water. In fact, the bar, you know, there was no queues at the bar, really. The queues were at the taps.
At the taps,
for drinking water, you know.
Yeah.
And we gave out a lot of free water too. It was really, really ridiculously hot. So, and you know, the other fear is, of course, is going bankrupt or spectacularly bankrupt, because it is ultimately it's 1.6 million quid to put that thing on, you know, which is an insane amount of money.
Yeah.
Which I was very comfortable with, because we sold a load of early bird tickets and everything seemed to be great. And then in April, the cost of living thing hit, didn't it? I think Putin.
There was a war going on,
and then there was
the gas prices affected by that.
Yeah, and it got very tricky, because the ticket sales did literally just start trickling. You know, we're going from doing a lot of money a day, I'm talking thousands of pounds a day, to doing 400 quid, 300 quid a day. And that's scary. It's scary because you know you are. Well, there's lots of challenges because of COVID and what happened there and everything being cancelled and people not getting their money back and the ticket people not getting their money back for promoters and people just not being paid in general when the shows were cancelled. Now all the trust has gone amongst between promoters, the ticket selling people, and the people that actually do the work on the ground. So everyone wants to be paid up front. Well, it's very difficult to do that when the ticket people don't want to give you the money, because there's uncertainty, as in, will it go ahead? Is there going to be a monkeypox outbreak? You know, is the thing going to be cancelled because of extreme heat, which you could never have made up, but that was real. You know, we'll talk about that later. But ultimately, everyone wants paying up front, and we're going to a show that costs £1.6 million, having done £1.1 million in tickets, which is, that's a massive black hole. And but we rely on the bar and the concessions to bring that money in, which I was confident they would. We crawled over the line, literally, because the bar was quiet, very quiet, as I think people would appreciate, and we had so much stock left, which we'll be able to use in the pubs, and we've got friends that can buy that stuff. But the bar obviously hadn't happened, so we hadn't had the income from the bar before the event went on. So I'm asking people that we rely on, like the fire guys, like the medics, all these important people without the show doesn't go on, to say, look, trust us, you're going to get paid afterwards. And, you know, it's a big thing, because they're coming with, I think there was something like, you know, there's 10 medics. One of them's a doctor. There's a nurse. You know, there's paramedics everywhere. These are expensive people. They're professionals that are giving up 5 days of their lives, you know, and on a promise of, oh, yeah, trust Lee, he'll pay you. And it is, you know, without the amount of pressure on my shoulders is immense, because it's a lot of money. It's not like back in the day in 2012, the first Lakefest, you know, I lost my shirt and my underpants. You know, we went big, we didn't do it. And if it hadn't been for the patience of my friend that supplied all the alcohol, that was the last person to be paid, and Croft Farm with the rent of the land and stuff, and being reasonable with me and letting me pay over a very long period of time, there wouldn't be a Lake Fest. Do you know what I mean? And we stick with these people. I still work with the same alcohol suppliers because they've helped us through. But having said all that, I think it was a massive success. It really was. There's been no negative feedback at all, really. There's a complaint sheet that I haven't got round to because we've only just got out of the field, and we have lives, you know. So we've got, as I was saying to you, I think we've got something like 16 events this weekend, bars, and you know, and that's without the pub business. And we are only a small business, really, you know. And it's me and a few guys that work for me and friends and volunteers. So we've got probably a few 100 complaints or maybe less than that, and mainly about the cashless thing. Some people about showers and toilets and things, the normal stuff. But it was extreme circumstances, mate. It was. And I'm just glad, and I think I said to you, I'm just glad and relieved that no one died.
And dogs died either.
No, dog gate. Oh, we'll talk about. So that was one thing that did, you know, that got
that
to me a little
worry.
Bit. Well, yeah, but you know, as I said, when my friend, I'm not on any of the social media or forums because I find the negativity draining.
Yeah.
And but people are always watching it, and I get forwarded stuff on WhatsApp and things, and things that are important or need a response or need to be thought about are always sent to me, and I look at it and think about it. But when someone was asking what provision do we put in for, you know, dog looking after their dog, and I was like, well, look, we welcome dogs, we always have done. My advice is, this is extreme weather, don't bring a dog to a festival. Pay for someone to leave it at home. You know, we're not a dog creche. There is a dog creche there,
yes.
But you cannot. It was extreme, you know. And my advice, you know, I was like, but I'm a festival organiser, I'm not a bloody vet, you know. If you want advice on owning a dog or taking a dog to a festival, my first advice is don't take it, because there is very little shade. You know, leave the dog at home, and it is ultimately it's your dog. It's not my dog.
Yes.
You know, it's not Lake Fest dog. It's your dog. If you're comfortable bringing it, bring the dog, but have provision to keep it safe, keep it cool, give lots of water. But you know, for people on the Lake Fest forum to start questioning what Lake Fest was going to do for their dogs in the heat, I thought was a bit over and above. But you know, we had a few issues, didn't we? Because obviously we cancelled the electric. We had electric gate.
Oh yes,
which was something that it's a typical Lake Fest thing. It's, you know, me, Daffy, and Martin are super nice people, and we always want to help and do the best we can. And somehow we ended up giving people over 1,000 pitches free electric, which is crazy. You know, it was 5 miles of cable. It would have been £100,000 worth of diesel at the new price. The cost of putting the infrastructure in was isn't like £250,000 to roll it out, the generators, the labour, the distros. So it wasn't even a decision for me that and I did a little video that I released
on the website. Yeah
I did, because I was horrible because I wasn't sleeping. I was sat at my desk. I sat there for 2 days literally just typing, deleting, and I thought, whatever I write here just isn't going to say enough. I can't apologise enough, and people are just going to get very angry about this because they expect it, and they've paid for it, and we decided to put money back on their wristbands anyway, and people were very, very animated and angry about that. Well, so I say that
some people were okay.
No, 95% of the people were okay.
Yeah.
The 5% were not happy. But I spoke to most of them individually, and most, I think we ended up giving 15 refunds out of 1,000 pitches. Most people were very reasonable. One lady I remember, which I loved actually, because we moved a few people, because a lot of people have sleep apnea and need masks. We moved a few of them to accessible camping, where of course we have to give electric. And this lady was really, really kicking off on email to me, and I'm like, bloody hell, this woman, she's relentless. So I gave her the hint, look, is there a medical reason you need electric? Mm. And saying, just tell me you do, and I'll just put you in accessible camping, because I don't need this. You know, I do this thing for fun and love, and it's only made money 1 year in 10. You know, I really don't need this grief. And she honestly came back with, I need my fucking hair straighteners. True story.
Oh.
And it's just mind-blowing, man. I mean, I get that we've been so nice over the years and given people, you know...
I mean, the thing is, electric camping at a music festival is actually a luxury you have gone above and beyond to provide all these years.
Yeah, we made
it
up for our own backs, and we will be doing a limited number, but we'll be doing it at a reasonable cost that works financially. But because, like I said, it wasn't a decision. We charged about £25,000 for electric, and it was going to cost £250,000. So I didn't have to think about it. It's bankruptcy, no festival, or deliver electric to people. And that said, you know, like, there's also the green element of this, because we're burning tons and tons of diesel and releasing carbon everywhere, where actually people can now get solar panels, you can get these batteries that last all weekend. Man, and they only cost like £200.
Mm.
There was one man who actually, and this is a true story, he had a generator, a petrol generator, in his car with some petrol cans, plastic ones, in his car with the windows done up, right? Running, and he was in the arena, and the fire people, I mean, that is brain dead.
Yeah,
the fire people identified it. They think it was like half an hour away from actually blowing. I mean, you can't legislate for people like that, can you?
No.
Really? I mean, and there was people that did sneak in electric generator, petrol generators. That, you know, it's onerous, because security have to go around, they have to confiscate them. People get angry because they're saying, I've got fridges full of food. But they've got to understand the rules, you know, and you've got to be safe and you've got to be fair. And we try and be as fair as we can in everything we do.
Mm. I mean, there's a phrase, isn't there? Some people will say rules are there to be broken. No, rules are there to save lives.
Absolutely. I mean, that's it. And we didn't want to be difficult. And the other thing, of course, that we did that really did anger people, and that triggered a lot of backlash, and I totally got this, but we're in a bit of a catch-22, because we were working with the council, and I genuinely, at one point, I'll tell you this now, Mark, there was a point where I thought, I can't mentally take this. I just need to go and get my passport and get out of here. Like, it was honestly, I swear to God, it was too much. It was too much to take, because the heat was too much for everyone. I've never seen so many radios thrown. But, you know, there's a guy called Ork, who you'll know from the back gate, the big hippie guy with the dreadlocks, who's super, super intelligent, super cool, never loses it, never raises his voice. He lost it. You know, Daffy lost it. People, the heat and the pressure and the stress was getting to people. And the major concern for us was the temporary water supply at East Nor, which is... it's above ground, right?
Yeah.
So that water in those pipes shouldn't go above 25 degrees. Anything above that is showstop, because of Legionella and things like that. And you know, you could poison or kill a lot of people. It's serious stuff. And we were having to bury the pipework in, and the whole team spent 3 days. And you couldn't do it with spades, because the ground was too hard. You had to use diggers. And we had to bury the pipe. But, you know, even at ground level, and burying it a little bit and getting out of the sun doesn't make much of a difference. And that's why we had issues with the showers, and that's why a lot of stuff wasn't done, because the whole thing was about keeping the show on. And I will say, Herefordshire County Council and the representatives of the SAG that came to site to help us and advise us, the fire service were there 5 days. EHO... the principal environmental health officer and his colleague, two wonderful superhuman beings, came out, advised us on the water, told us about chlorine levels, and that the guys that actually do the water for us, Event Water Limited, I think they're called, but they worked their socks off, mate. I mean, everyone in that field, the 12,500 people or whatever that were in the field, owe the festival to the water guys and the patience of the environmental health people, because it really was knife edge stuff, mate. It was knife edge stuff of being pulled the whole thing, and I think it's very difficult when people are on site, and it probably would have been more of a public disturbance to pull it, because there could be serious public disorder and a lot of disappointed families. You know, so fortunately the thing, it ran, but it was exceptionally hard, and it's so frustrating for me to be sat here again. I'd love to be sat here being really super buzzing and not being able to tell you anything bad happened, because unfortunately it's a difficult game. Like I said, we've had a lot of rough luck, you know, with the robbery and the rest of it.
Well, yeah, you've got four instances, haven't you? You've got the year of the robbery, and then you have the year of the mud.
Yeah.
Unprecedented levels of mud on that site. I have never seen mud like that on Eastnor.
No.
That was unreal. You've got post-COVID... situation where supply chain just collapsed, and then you've got heat this year.
Yeah.
Now we're not going to tempt fate here and say that's pretty much everything covered now, and you've got everything in health and safety covered. But
I must say, I said after the last one, I want to keep doing it. Someone's offered to buy the thing, I don't want to sell it, because it's such a big part of my life, and I think the joy it gives people. And if you take the characters and all the individuals that make the thing happen, and there's thousands of people now that pull together, and they're all from different backgrounds, whether it's dudes from, you know, hippie guys, we had Extinction Rebellion there, or guys from the military, like you've got the Red Devils, you've got army recruitment things. It's such a mishmash of people, but everyone gets along, you know, and it's so important. And I don't want to take that away, because I think it's really important in life and in the world now that people understand each other and everyone gets along. Doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, you need to get along with one another. And Lakefest is brilliant for that. And we're not commercial in any way, shape, or form. And I think if you sell a festival, and I've seen it happen, you know, a lot of my friends have done it, they change. Because they go commercial, and they lose all the love, they lose everything that's special about what Lakefest does and what Nonstop do and what all these other independent festivals do. And there aren't many left, mate. I think Boomtown have sold half theirs because they got into financial difficulties this year. And I think genuinely, there isn't going to be many left, because this year was tough, and it's going to get even tougher, mate, with the cost of living thing.
Yeah,
we need to look at what we're doing. Cost wise and making it more attractive to families. I spoke about that on the radio just now with you. We do need to improve. There's a lot we need to improve on. There's a lot we get right. But I'm confident about the future. But I can't keep sitting here going, oh yeah, we're building the brand. We don't make money, but we're building the brand, because it's a lot of work, man. I mean, it's a serious undertaking.
And it's an enormous amount of stress on you and all of the guys in the team.
Yeah.
What went well, though, and what went right was a terrific lineup. Left Field, Friday night. Now, you and I had conversations about that, and I was sort of slightly dubious about them as a booking. But do you know what? I really thoroughly enjoyed their set, and I thought, do you know what? Friday night could become the dance night. It could.
Mate, well, I think we're building something there that we will always keep, and you'll have the Thursday night, which will be the Legends slot, which was Tom Jones, obviously, when we had no stage, when he didn't have a stage to perform on, which was, that was fun and games, to say the least.
It was nearly an orange box he was still on.
Yeah, UB40 did it this year, and I thought UB40 were great, personally. I thought UB40 were really good, did a great job. And then, like, more of a dance thing on the Friday, that worked. Left Field was, people were saying it was Left Field for Lakefest, you know. It was different. I actually went on the, I think that was the only time on the weekend I went on stage, or went at the side of stage just to look out and see, because the stage was impressive, wasn't it? And the sound and lighting was
it's finally in.
Yeah, it was brilliant. And I looked out, and Left Field's performance and just the production behind their show was special. And even people that didn't like Left Field were blown away by them, I think. you know. And if you didn't like left field, there was stuff going on in other tents, wasn't there? I think Gold Looking Chain, was it? Were they the Friday?
Was it Saturday? Saturday night.
I don't know.
They
it's all a bit of a blur, but
they had
that,
a packed midnight.
But
yeah.
That worked. That worked.
Yeah, and then Manic Saturday.
Yeah.
Manic Street Preachers. Thank you for letting me tick that off my bucket list.
Yeah, no, it was good. That was good.
Waited special. Years for them.
Yeah, that was good. I mean, they're a huge stadium band, aren't they? They're huge. Mm. And that was a special thing for me. I met the lead singer, and I don't often go and do that. I got pretty ill. Did you even know that?
I've seen the picture and heard about you on a mobility scooter. Tell us a story of that.
Wow.
What was that about?
I was worried about myself. I went to go and see the medics. I was like, do I need an ambulance? Because all my legs just swelled up and I couldn't walk. And then, like, swelled up, massive water retention. And they were like, you need to get off your feet now and you need to drink lots of water. And otherwise you will be in hospital. And obviously I need to be there because it's all in my net, you know. It's important that I'm there, that the insurance, the license, the whole thing's in my name. So I didn't want to disappear, obviously. So we have Event Mobility because we are an accessible festival, and we, you know, we try and cater for everyone. So I said to one of the lads, I literally couldn't walk, mate. I could not walk. Can you go and get me one of those mobility scooters? Which is really Benidorm-y, isn't it? And Brian Potter from Phoenix Night.
Yeah, well, I was waiting to run into you so I could call you that. Brian Potter. Yeah. Get it done.
Dent Perry and all that. So I got this scooter thing, and mate, it was absolutely brilliant. I cruised around the whole place on this thing. My legs, I could rest my legs up. And after about a day and a half of actually just drinking water and getting off my feet, I went back to normal. It's very disappointing because I personally picked Louise Redknapp because I've always been a massive
fan. She's hot.
Also a very talented singer.
Diplomatic.
And mate, and I zoomed down because I heard she was in one of the airstreams at the back of the stage. Again, don't normally do that at all. Mm. It's not my style. But I went to go and meet her, and I got a photograph with her, and you know, it just wasn't right because I really want to meet her and me be cool and swagger down there, but instead I had to come along and shop mobility, which just wasn't quite the same. It had echoes of I met Liz Hurley in 2014, and we did an event for her. We did a cricket match for her and Shane Warne.
Yeah.
The legendary Shane Warne. We did the bar and the food, and I was introduced to her. And the night before, we'd been setting up this fence, and it was all late. It was all late, and I'd come back from a stag do, and we'd put the fence in the wrong place and been asked to move it before the show opened. We were all panicking, and I had a thing called a monkey, which is it's a post-rammer, basically.
I know what you mean, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and I had one of those.
It's got, like, ears, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I was really panicking, and I raised it up to slam it down to get this post into the ground, and the monkey went straight into my mouth, and my lip immediately just swelled up, blood everywhere. So the next day, when I'm meeting Liz, I'm introduced to Liz Hurley. And I was dribbling down my side, and she must have thought, "My word, she must have thought, "Wow, they've sort of they've sort of helping the community here. You know? They're giving this guy a gig." And then it was similar with Louise. I went down there, and I had to say to her, "I was like, look, this isn't normally me. You know, I'm usually a fit lad. You know, I bought the Mulvans and my flip flops and all that jazz, but." No, she didn't take the bait. I don't think she was very interested in me, sadly.
She's single as well.
Mate, single. And this was the you know, she's used to Jamie Redknapp, you know, with chiselled calves. And my calves looked like they needed milking. They were, like, rotund. And I was in hell of a state when I met her. Like, she must have thought, he's... Yeah, I was just sunburned. I was a wreck. I couldn't walk. So everything was swollen. It was very, very unpleasant. But again, part of the story
I
survived.
There are always tales, aren't there? There are always tales. I mean, it wouldn't be a festival if there weren't tales to be told.
No, that's right. That's
some that can and some that can't.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a lot that goes on you can't talk about. But, you know, on the whole, it was lovely being on that mobility scooter because it meant I could go around the whole festival. Because usually, I think you walk something like 30 to 40 miles a day. Now, that's what I was doing. Now, again, I'm not the fittest anymore. I wasn't my pomp, you know. No, I'm not joking. I'm not the fittest, and walking that amount for 3 days, and then, you know, not drinking and being dehydrated and the sun, it definitely caught up with me. But as soon as I got the shop mobility scooter, I could shoot around the site. Every tent.
Donuts, I've heard.
There was some of that going on. Mate, there's some really good reverse parking as well, which I'm pretty pleased. Yeah. We, you know, the retrospective house thing, I went up to, and then I could go down to the Brethren cocktail tent, which I've bloody, you know, I absolutely love that thing.
Mm. James, we didn't give kudos to James when we did the radio stuff. He does a terrific job, James Cavaney, down there, doesn't he?
Singer, songwriter, and also an extraordinary good, talented tiler as well.
It's tiling, is it?
Yeah, he's into tiling.
I thought it was wooden floors. Oh, well, yeah.
No, well, he does a bit of everything. Anything, mate. Yeah. He's a jack of all trades, yeah. Master of none, I think. No, James, I'm only joking. You're a legend. He gets very sensitive. No, he does. In my opinion, that cocktail tent is the heart of the festival. It's where I always am.
It's always the last place, isn't it?
Yeah.
To close on Sunday night when everyone's ready to finally. Well, they're not ready to go home, so they all gather in there. And
And it's superb. But all of it is, and the whole thing, you know, the BBC, the introducing bit is brilliant.
No, we'll cut that bit out.
Sugar. Sorry. Yeah. Oh no, I didn't think about that. Damn. No, the pen and parchment's exceptionally good. Yeah, yeah. Oh, mate, sorry.
Scrapping floating that tent blood. For next year. It's not happening, you know, right?
Yeah. No. Oh yeah, sorry, I shouldn't have said that. That's me not thinking.
Yeah, don't worry. We get on great with the Beeb. We're fine with them.
No, I think I said on the radio, Mark, what we do there, I'm incredibly proud of, and everyone involved should be, because we bring so many people together. And I told you, I actually want to read one of the comments that someone wrote to me, and there was loads of these, mate, and there was no negativity, but this one really did, like, get me, because it's what it's all about. And when you think about all the hard work, and I think you think, oh, why the hell am I doing this, man? This is just not worth it. You know, there was a baying mob after me on the Thursday night, because we didn't give free lanyards. And
what happened there? Because there was a shortage, wasn't there, of the wristbands and the lanyards coming
in. Something we always did with Super Early Bird, and I'm still told by Mike Craig, who does all the marketing stuff, we didn't offer it this year. We didn't offer it. We didn't do it. But everyone was expecting it, and therefore, and you know, I completely messed up, because I'm like, oh, if people are upset and angry, just give it to them. But then when we ran out, obviously everyone then got upset. So it was just a mess up. But and anyway, I was speaking to this one person that was kicking off about that, and suddenly someone must have thought, oh, he's got a little bit of authority. We can talk to him. And a load of people came in. I had to just. I was like, right, okay, one at a time. And then, you know, but you know, we sorted everything out. And I think if you're reasonable people and you explain the challenges you've got and where you are and what you're doing and how you're going to deal with it, and you're fair, most people are sensible. And in fact, everyone there was sensible. There was no one ranting and raving or shouting in my face or threatening me, which does happen at festivals, because people lose their minds and lose their heads. But we're a family show, and it's everyone there is sound, really. On the whole, you get one, you know. But there you go. But anyway, someone wrote this. It's just amazing. I just want to add a final post, because I've stalked everyone all day and commented loads, but I came to Lakefest anxious as hell. I suffer really bad from my anxiety and panic attacks, and recently I can't even leave my house. And I overthought what I would see and experiences that would challenge me, so I put my tickets up for sale at one point. I'm so glad I did delete the post. So although I commented on the director's post, I want to say again, thank you everyone in here. Thank you so much for making me feel strong and wonderful again. I danced like I was back in my teens. Overall, I think it was an amazing experience, and you have all changed my life.
I read that on the forum
and
as
that,
well. Yeah,
that's pretty special, mate. Like, and there's hundreds, not tens. There's hundreds of people that don't know me, don't know Daffy, don't know Martin, don't know Paul O'Neill, don't know all the other people that bring this thing together, that contact us, and it's mind blowing. What we're doing for people and the love we're bringing and the experience we're bringing is amazing, and I'm very, 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 very proud of it.
Mm. And mate, it is something to be proud of. How many people were on site?
We were less this year. We went backwards slightly. I don't know if that was a Tom Jones effect. I think a lot of it was the sunshine. I think a lot of it, again, was there was a lot of events this year, mate. It was saturated. There were a lot of rollover events.
Yeah.
I know, you know, Wimbledon, you could get tickets to Wimbledon tennis, which is unheard of, isn't it? They were giving away cricket tickets over the summer. There was a lot going on, and I also think people want to go abroad as well because they've not been abroad for a long time. So there was about 12,500 people there, but which was less. But actually, it did us a favour because it was hot.
Yeah,
and the water, we needed plentiful amounts of water, and the queues were at the taps, not the bar, as I've said before.
I think everyone came early. I think on Thursday, just before UB40, it felt busier than it ever had. Early doors. It felt like a Saturday.
Yeah. Well, it was the weather, wasn't it? Everyone came early, and the other thing, of course, which caught us out, which was I think everyone came early and everyone had a party and everyone had a great time. And I woke up on the Monday morning, having had a great Sunday night. The Silent Disco was special as always this year, and Martin and Craig do a great job on their shippers. Just amazing, and. The kids got on stage, and I know one of them was dancing and unplugged Martin's Blue Channel, which he was very upset about. Blue Channel, he had the whole plate, had half the tent in blue, and then
it's all gone green.
Yeah, it's all gone green. Shippers was thrilled, but Martin wasn't so happy.
Paid him a tenner.
Where were we?
Monday morning.
I looked down. I go out and I looked down at the site, and I thought, my God, it's empty. Everyone's gone home. And I think people must have just woken up. It was raining slightly, wasn't it?
It just started raining. I saw you on the hill. You were waving everybody with their caravans up the hill.
That's hilarious because someone wrote, didn't they? And that was sent to me going, what a lovely bloke waving us all off. Yeah. It wasn't that at all.
You were checking that nobody got stuck.
Yeah, no, exactly. I was on the hill. I was in the shower looking down, watching all the cars go, thinking, oh, thank God, the place is clearing out. We've just got to clear up now. No one's died. Thank goodness, we're safe. I've got to get back to reality now. And I was stood in the shower, and the traffic just stopped. And I thought, oh, sugar, there's a problem here. Shit. So I quickly, like, didn't even dry. I just put some shorts and T-shirt on, my hat. Walked down, and this car had broken down on the hill.
Yeah.
Normally, You may know this, you may not. We reversed the traffic. We reversed the one-way system.
But they were all queuing across the top, so you couldn't.
We couldn't because it caught security on the hop because people left so early. And once a one-way system's in use, you can't stop it and change it the other way. You know, it doesn't work. So everyone's having to go up the hill. One of the lads that helps Jordan, who's one of Ben Stanford and Taft's team and Ben Greenwood's team, again, these guys are on the ground. They're working 15-hour days, and they graft like mad. One of them saw the problem, came up with a tow thing and towed the vehicle up the hill, cleared the backlog, and then we had to manage it from the bottom, let people get a run up to get up that slope. But it's something that we can't do again next year because a lot of the vehicles aren't man enough to tow the caravan.
Get up that hill.
I mean, most of them are, and it's such a relief to me when you see a beautiful, like, you know, Q7 or whatever, and you think, oh, that'll make it, that's not a problem. But a lot of our customers are in camper vans, you know, Volkswagen camper vans that have got clutches that are 40 years old.
Well, I tow a little caravan up, and I saw you on the hill, and I slowed down halfway up the hill to wave to you and say hi.
Yeah, and I'm going, fucking move! Don't stop! And some bloke stopped and goes, mate, my tent's gone missing. I'm like, email me, just go, for fuck's sake. And yeah, no, it was a bit, I wasn't really waving people off. I was trying to I was trying to kick them out, G them up, but I was smiling, and I think everyone took it in the right spirit. But another thing, Mark, that you know, is just a wonderful thing that would only really happen at Lakefest. I lost my phone in the shop mobility scooter going bouncing around. It's bounced down my short pockets. I lost it, and it's not the end of the world. It's a 2-year-old iPhone, and it's the camera's broken, all the rest of it is smashed. But some girls, I couldn't find it. I retraced my steps 3 times. I knew exactly where I'd been, couldn't find it anywhere. Asked a security guard, said, has there been a phone hand in? He said, what's the picture on it? I said, oh, it's 4 children. And two black children, 2 white children. And he goes, yeah, I got that phone, mate. I got that handed in to me by some girls. I was like, all right, do you know where it is? He goes, yes, it's security. So I went over to security and got my phone. It was my phone. They'd charged it for me as well. They didn't know it was my phone, of course. And I went into photos, and some lovely, lovely young girls.
Had they taken pictures of them?
Yeah, and they'd left a video saying, look, really sorry, we found your phone. We didn't break it. It was already broken. I knew it was already broken.
Yeah.
And, yeah, and I tried to find out who they were to give them a reward because it's just too nice. People go out of their way to be nice, and that's everywhere, you know. Like I said, people are handing wallets in with money in, which that doesn't happen in the normal world, does it, really? It happens at Lakefest.
There we are. That's almost a great place to finish, really, in that Lakefest makes people happy.
Yeah, yeah, no, it does.
Brings
it
the happiness.
It does, and I think we talked about Woodstock 99 in there when we were doing
it. Yeah, if you haven't seen it on Netflix, go watch it. Mate, the potential.
I'm so glad I didn't watch it prior to Lakefest this year because they burn the fucking thing down, pretty much. Like, because there's no water, there's no litter pickers. And if I'd have watched that prior to our event, I think I might have said, actually, yeah, we might just have to pull this because it was so hot. But it's worth watching, Mark, that.
Yeah, going to go and watch that. And the toilets, you kept the toilets clean as well. That's always a big barometer, isn't it, for a festival.
From the bottom of my heart, thank you very much.
No, thank you. Thank you as well for the 1.6 million that it costs to put it on and putting everything on the line to bring all that joy to those people. And back to that message on the forum board there, you know. You bring joy to... You're like Father Christmas of summer, mate. Start growing that beard longer.
Yeah. It's certainly a grey beard these days. It's, game's up for me.
You know what? I looked at a picture of us from 7 years ago, and we've gone grey.
Yeah, it's
You've terrible. Had more reason to go grey than me.
Yeah, it's terrible. No, it's, getting older, you've got to...
Well, you now got your mobility scooter every year. You're fine.
It's mad, though, man, because you look at children that were babies, you know, and I still think of them as babies, and I see them at Lakefest, and you do see that change, because you're only seeing them once a year, and they're now teenagers, you know. It's mad how quickly life goes, and I think I need to certainly slow my life down and take stock a bit more, because I do run at a million miles an hour, and as I said to you, we've got so many events this weekend, and everyone that works with me, they're so loyal, but you know, they're all working their socks off, and you've got to have a life fun balance. We do have a lot of fun, mind you. have a lot of fun, I will say that. it's all good, and I think it's very important to end on a positive, and there's no real negatives. Like I said, there's a few hundred complaints that me, Daffy, Craig, Newley will work through. We'll respond to each one individually, and we'll try and make people as happy as we can. And we're going again next year, and it does start again. We're looking at who we can book, what bands we can book, what we're going to do new, how we can improve. We're looking at debriefs, and it starts again. It's continuous. And as I said to you, people have like tried to buy it and change the thing and told me how to do different things, but we will continue to improve it, and we're going to keep it amazing. So please keep supporting us.
Lee Martin, director of Lakefest. Oh, that sounded like this is your life then, wasn't it? This is your book. thank you for coming in. Thank you for doing another Sunshine podcast. Obviously, in the months to come, we will catch up again. And of course, I'll see you probably drunk in a field, usually, isn't it?
We'll
looking forward to it, mate.
I'll catch you.
Right, thank you very much. That's Lee. Lakefest 2022 is done, and that's the Sunshine Radio podcast. Hello, just breaking back in. It's Mark. Before we go, just to say that after Lee had gone and we'd recorded that, he sent me a message saying, do you know what? We didn't mention Barbecue Gate. So he wanted me to just point out that with the situation, of course, with the ground being so dry for so long, it was tinder. And obviously there were a lot of concerns as far as the council were concerned, the fire department, and of course the Lakefest team as well, for everybody's safety. So their decision was made that no barbecues or no cooking stoves outdoors in the camping areas were allowed. Now, obviously there was plenty of feedback from the ticket holders, from you guys, and they listened. And then he said, look, we put in some designated safe controlled barbecue areas that had the sand, that had the fire extinguishers, and were monitored by the fire service as well. So he wanted to say, you know, and address that and say, you know, we understand the pain. We understand the anguish that caused. Obviously, it was for everybody's safety, but he wanted to say, you know, we listened, we read the feedback, and we took it on board, and we tried to find a way around it so that could be done. Hey, listen, Lakefest 2023 is going to be even better than ever. There are so many fantastic plans that can't be revealed, but get your tickets and we will see you there next year. And I'm sure before then we'll be chatting more to Lee, to Daffy and to Martin and the entire Lakefest team. That was a Sunshine Radio podcast for the second time, rounding off Lakefest 2022.